Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to the Maker's Method podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am your host, Darren Moser, a.k.a. Dr. Sci-Fi, and I am joined, as always, by Derek Young of Van Oaks Props. This month. It has been a couple of months since we last spoke. And you know what? That is okay. Sometimes podcasts change. Sometimes you take a little break. But they're always there when you need them and you're ready to talk some more. But Derek, I'm glad we're sitting down again. I'm sure a million things must have happened in the last 3 months. So this is going to be another 90-minute episode. Maybe, maybe not.
I mean, it remains to be seen.
That's true. No promises. No promises.
Yeah. I 90 minutes? 100 minutes? Who knows?
30 minutes? Who knows?
Yeah.
Just like the length of the credits of a Marvel show, it could go as long as possible. You never know what that true runtime is going to be.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, oh man, we're getting 35 minutes this week. That's great. Oh, like 10 of that is credits. Okay. Great. Thanks, Marvel. Good job.
Oh, well, we'll enjoy those 22 minutes anyways.
Well, the number one thing I wanted to recap on was my amazing day at Silicon 22, which is a San Jose convention up in the Bay Area that is Adam Savage's Silicon, as it is called now. He's the executive kind of producer of it. I think initially it started by like Steve Wozniak and a few others. So it's very tech oriented. But right. It's kind of reinvented itself into like a MakerCon. And I think they had like a Bay Area MakerCon that kind of died with the pandemic. And so this even more so is a return to form in that area. And so this was my first time going. I'd never been to this particular con, but it was an amazing time. I was very excited, but I'm definitely going back next year.
I'll tell you what. I spent that weekend constantly refreshing Twitter, just feeling all the FOMO.
Oh, no.
Because I'm just seeing pictures of like all my favorite makers hanging out together, getting into trouble.
The maker list was like 50 deep. It was the who's who of awesome people.
Yeah. And the internet is a weird place. We all acknowledge that because so much of our lives are spent in the scroll that you start to feel like you know people in more ways than you know maybe people that you see at work every day or whatnot. But so seeing all of these people, fellow makers, fellow content creators, and being like, oh, all of my air quotes friends.
Right.
Are at Silicon. It was definitely.
Now, granted, you do know quite a few of those people, and we do interact with people in that crowd. True. You know, maybe not exactly those names, but, you know, we're not siloed. We definitely know of those people by name.
You know, these are people that I may have had conversation with online who, if my name was mentioned, would be like, oh, yes, of course.
Right.
But not necessarily people that I have like regular, like real old timey
name recognition
world.
Yeah.
You know, relationships with, you know, and that is sort of the weird part of the internet, particularly, in a tail end, fingers crossed, of a pandemic, where you start meeting a lot of people and having these interactions with people in a completely virtual way. So then to see them all out in a physical place together felt very much like, oh, all my friends are at summer camp and I'm stuck at home. But it sounded like, based on photos and video, which we'll get into in a bit, that you had a blast.
I did. It is so funny. This is the story of how Darren's trip to Silicon came about, because it literally came about because of a vacation I was taking. My family and I were going to go spend a week at Lake Tahoe with my parents, and I was just, I don't know what calendar I was looking at, but I came across, oh, that first weekend that we're up there is Silicon. I've never been to Silicon. How far is it from Tahoe? Well, it's 4 hours, Derek. But in my mind, it's 6.5 hours from where we live down here in Southern California. Right. So I'm like, that's 2 hours closer. That's like crazy close in California driving time. Now, to our listeners, we're Californians, so driving long distances is just what we do. It's just a matter of putting in the hours to get to your destination. So a 4 hour. So this is my thought. It's like, oh, and I thought of it around my birthday this year. And so I was like, hey, I got a little money set aside. I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'd like this as my birthday gift to me, that I get to go to this convention. I'd love you to come with me. We can have a date night away from the kids, and I'll get to see some makers. Win-win. Everybody's happy. And because it's 4 hours, only 4 hours away.
Which, I mean, technically 8 hours round trip
in the single day. I mean, that was my original plan, was wake up at crack o' dawn o'clock to roll out of bed, drive from Lake Tahoe to San Jose, do the con, have dinner, drive back. I mean, it wasn't the worst plan in the world, but it wasn't a smart plan. Short version of our travel itinerary, we did actually find a friend's house that only lived like 90 minutes away. And so we stayed there the night both before and after. So it was not nearly the insurmountable driving time the day of, which, yeah, because you know me, until we're parked in the parking structure, I'm stressed because it's traffic. It's 90 minutes away. All it takes is like two accidents and your time is shot. So yes. So anyway, the timing of worked it out where I really could only go one day was on Sunday. And I am part of the Maker Alliance, which is kind of what the I Like to Make Stuff channel calls their Patreon or YouTube supporters. And one of the things they do is Bob hosts a monthly hangout, which you've joined a couple of times, yes, if I recall. And what was cool about that is, you know, it's just a little bit of FaceTime, a little bit of hanging out. And I had gotten to show Bob my BD1, one of the times I'd been able to be in my workshop during the conversation. And so he messaged me and he said, hey, I'm going to Silicon, and they were asking me people I thought of who might be of interest to interview for Tested. And I brought up your name and I was like, oh, thanks, Bob. Like that's awesome. Like I would love to be interviewed by Tested again. I didn't say it that way.
Modesty.
I know. Well, this is my third Tested interview. The other two were with Norm at a convention with K2, which is an awesome crossing of paths. And, you know, if Norm comes up to interview, you're going to say yes, and you're going to have great time talking with him. But so he put me in contact with their people, and they reached out to me. I mean, again, Tested is a top class group. Like they're very professional. They know what they're doing. But it was funny to me because they're just really humble and really encouraging. And like, hey, like if you're available, if you have the time, we'd really like to have you, you know, you come over and interview. And I'm thinking in my mind, you got this reverse. I am the one who is grateful and thankful for this opportunity. But the way they worded it was as if like I was granting them an audience with the droid Pope or something. And I'm like, no, that is not this case. Anyway, but no, they treated it super nice. And so they're like, oh yeah. So if you're available right at the beginning of the day at like 10 o'clock, we'd like to have Adam interview. And then my brain just, you know, short circuits for about 30 minutes. And I'm like, yes. Like if you'd grace us with that, I'm thinking, like, okay, let's get the priorities straight of who's asking who here, because I would beg for this. No, there's no droid pope. I regretted it as soon as I said it.
Instagram handle, everybody.
But they worked that out, and they said, hey, we're going to interview a couple of people, and you'll, because I didn't have like a VIP ticket or anything like that. So I was going to be in at the normal time. And they said, maybe we'll squirrel you away in early if we're able. Mm-hmm. And so we arrive, we get there. And I'm going to be rambling the story. So if you have any questions, you just interject, because I'll just keep the story train going.
I love that this is an episode where you do all the talking instead of me.
You know, that's true. I'm looking at the waveform. I see a lot of Darren right now, but that's okay. So we roll in and we coordinate that they're going to help us, my wife and I, get in a little early. And I love that. I love early. Early is great. Early is on time. So we arrive, we park. I get BD1 all on, because, you know, he's just going to be on my arm all day, which is fine. Right. Cosplay is pain. And if anyone tells you otherwise, they're selling you something. So
why?
No, it's not. And it's a great Princess Bride quote there. So so anyway, we connected with one of the tested producers, and she basically walked us in kind of a back way. And as we were heading towards those doors, the security people were like, oh, sorry, this is an entrance. And she just basically is like, just walking, throws her credentials, and we're kind of like, just like, we're with her. Like, we don't have the credentials she has, but we're just going to follow. And again, it worked out fine. So we got in, and so it's like 30, 40 minutes before doors open. So the VIPs are there, like wandering the floor and enjoying it. And I'm starting to meet, like, Core Geek is there, and Odin is there. Odin makes, and, Props of History walks by, and it's like all these cool, yeah, again, like, these are the people. And I'm like, ah, oh, because I had a short list, well, not short, I had a long list of makers that I wanted to meet, and just to say hi to, you know, and chat their ear off for a second. But yeah, we was over at the tested booth, and I was right after Beverly Downen, who was showing her still suit from the new Dune movie. Man, which,
can we take a minute to talk about how good that suit is?
It looked so good. And I think I saw, because I think she went to, oh, what was it? There was another con after that. That was, oh, Dragon Con. I'm like, it's a big con. What was that big con? I can't think of. And there's a picture of like all these Dune people. And she posted about it, and she said, every single person's still suit was basically made differently, but they all look like, not in a bad way, but just in the fact that everybody approached the problem from their own unique way to solve this complex costume. But yeah, it's still suits are, yeah, they're incredible.
Yeah. And hers is particularly good. And the fact that she really like documented it across the entire build, over on her Instagram, was like really fascinating to watch, because it was like part prop build, part patterning, part
sewing fasteners, like, and
a bunch of different skill sets all being put to use to come up with like one of the best looking still suits I've seen since the movie came out.
And her wig, which got quite the laugh in their interview, where I guess she was talking about it and Adam thought it was her hair. And she's like, nope, this is a wig. And yeah, none of my droids have worn wigs, so I don't really know what that's like. But she is the whole package. And just like you said, it wasn't just building it and saying, look at this. It was taking people through the process and making it accessible and sharing the methods. And
yeah.
And that's, I mean, we've talked a lot about this. We love that part of the maker community, is totally the sharing. So yeah, so they interviewed her, and then, you know, and I'm, you know, I told myself, okay, Darren, you're gonna bring it to 80%. Like, don't go full 100%, because like this is a cool moment, but you got to tape it down just a little. And afterwards, my wife was like, you did not stop grinning. I'm like, of course I didn't stop grinning the entire time. It was talking to Adam Savage. It was amazing. And again, I'm really glad that it was interviewed and recorded, because afterwards I couldn't remember a thing I said. It was like in and out of my brain. But yeah, brought him over, and you know, they got me mic'd up for sound, and I'm okay. Thank you, Norm. I just want to say you gave me the greatest advice like 2 seconds before you recorded, is you're like, plant your feet. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And I just planted my feet, and I did not move my feet the entire time, because I bet I would have been bouncing all around, moving all over, and it probably looked 10 times better because he gave me that great advice right before. Because Norm's a pro. He knows what he's doing. It's not his first rodeo.
That's right.
So, yeah, so it, you know, we go into the interview, and my favorite part is probably the very beginning of the interview, where, you know, Adam's like, hey, I'm here with, you know, with Darren Moser. And, you know, then again, my part of my brain sparks off. It's like, Adam Savage said my name, you know, because, of course, everyone would have that reaction if that happened. But
yeah,
so he says, you know, and his BD1 puppet, and I'm just puppeting BD1 and moving him around and making him make his little chirp sounds. And there's this moment at the very beginning where Adam, he's almost kind of not losing composure, but you can tell like he's falling under the spell of BD1. Right. And I make BD1 do like a chirp and a little move. And Adam kind of puts his hand up to his mouth, kind of like, and you could tell in that moment, like BD1 just came alive in his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Adam, is he's a genuine person. Like, he's not hamming it up for the camera. It's like he's literally giving you his reaction as it's happening. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, as a puppeter, as someone cosplaying or creating a character in front of someone else, I mean, that's just the best feeling, is getting to see in their eyes like they just lost it for a second because of, now granted, it's the cuteness. Like, BD1 is ridiculously cute, so I understand that. So that was, yeah, I have to say that was the best moment. And then, yeah, we just had a good conversation. I only fumbled one word or two, and I almost felt bad, because he geared up this great question of like, he's like, some people have like their favorite colors and they're like purple and like everything's purple. And he's like, for you, is it puppets? Like, do you have like more puppets than just these Star Wars ones? And I'm like, no, it's just the Star Wars puppets. And I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I feel bad, because that's not like the giant answer. But I'm like, I don't really have any puppets besides Star Wars.
You know, this is coming from someone who, his interests are so varied.
That is true. Like, he's basically asking, are you the puppet guy? Like, is that your life and world? And it's not. That's true. That's true. If I look at it in that lens, that does make a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't let that one bother you too much.
Although a lot of people in the YouTube comments were like, I feel called out about my purple, Adam. But yeah, so we just chatted and just talked about the puppet and how he worked. And I got to share about like the moment at Celebration, sitting down with the kids and talked about K2 a little bit and puppeting him. And I think we talked probably for about 15, 20 minutes, and they edited it down to like a 6 to 8 minute, you know, the gist of it. And, but I mean, you know, I've been podcasting for 13 years or something, so I know how to soundbite and talk and clearly communicate. And I'd already been kind of telling all these stories. Like, I have the same five little anecdotes I kind of say about BD1. Like, so you know what you're saying. It's not a lot of ums and ahs and, oh, I've never thought of that before. It's like, no, I've thought of all of this before. It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
You're an old pro.
the droid pope. But yeah, and then it was over, and he said thank you, and you know, I was, like my wife said, was grinning from ear to ear and was just super excited. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of Silicon. And I'm not gonna say it was all downhill from there. I'm just saying it was nowhere but up. It was like, this was amazing. But yeah, Silicon was great. It was super fun. Again, getting to chat with a bunch of people. I got to talk to, like I said, Props to History. And that was fun, because he actually shot a little video for his TikTok of BD1. And at the end, he's like, oh, so do you have a handle that people know you by? And I'm like, oh, I'm Dr. Sci-Fi. And he's like, oh, I know who you are. This is our first time meeting. And when he posted that on TikTok, I gained like 300 followers that day. So I'm like, oh, wow. Thank you. It's because, yeah, let's just be saying the follower flow has not been happening on TikTok as of late. But yeah, and then, like I said, Core Geek and Odin got to chat with him a bit. And he had an awesome like corner booth with his like Mecha Godzilla and all these foam props. And then I was standing like puppeting BD1 talking to someone, and I can sense there's like some people standing next to me, but I haven't like turned yet. And I start turning, and it felt like it took me forever to finally turn and realize who was standing right next to me. And it's Bob and the I Like to Make Stuff crew. And they're just standing there because we're in like just the middle of the confluence. And he's like, hey, but you could tell he'd been probably waiting like 30 seconds, not in a bad way, but just in a like, oh, hey, there's Darren. I want to go say hi.
Polite.
And Darren hasn't turned 90 degrees to acknowledge me and say hi yet. So, but that was cool. We got a photo and he introduced me to the crew. And that was cool because, again, I was always thankful and reiterating to him the thanks for kind of opening that door. And he's like, oh no, like, you know, no problem. And I'm thinking, well, like, I'm like, yes, like, but let's not pretend that you weren't instrumental in helping pull these pieces together. But again, that's a great part of the maker community, again, is the humbleness. And not that we're not acknowledging each other, but you know, it's not, we're not over hyping it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to overhype the droid Pope.
Jeez. But that doesn't even make sense anywhere. No. So, yeah.
It doesn't, but I like it.
Okay. You can call me the droid Pope.
Just the right amount of ridiculous.
So ridiculous. So the droid puppet Pope, we get some alliteration in there.
Oh, boy.
It was super fun. Again, looking at all the booths was great. And, I didn't do any panels. Yeah, I rarely do. Just because it takes a huge chunk of time. But I definitely want to go next year. I'm already making plans. Full weekend. I might try to split a booth with someone just to have a place to put K2's console. Because I'd like to bring K2 and BD and whatever else I make between now and then. But it's also good because it kind of gives me a goal. So because there's still upgrades and things I want to do with K2, and that's about a year away. So that's a good goal now to get all of that done and get him in a state where I'm really, really happy with him.
I want to mention while we're talking about this, I can see behind you K2's torso.
It's just sitting there. Yeah.
So start now.
Yes. Well, again, a lot of these are upgrades that I had planned for Celebration and they just did not come to fruition. But I want him to be in a state where I'm happy, because honestly, if like, so somebody called me up and said like, hey, could you bring K2 tomorrow? I'd be sad because he's not as good as he could be right now. Start now. Try to avoid the con crunch. This would just be probably a weekend away from the wife and kids, just to, because K2 takes up a lot of space in the car. So he's probably just, especially with the console. So that's going to be the whole weekend. But and it's driving because he doesn't fly. That'll be fun. And I'll manage the 6.5 hour drive somehow, even though it's not 4, but I can make 6 work.
You could listen to a year's worth of Maker's Method
episodes. I could listen to so much Maker's Method and so many other podcasts. But the energy was super cool. You know, again, there's lots of cosplay. There were droid builders and all the Star Wars tables and the Ghostbusters and the Iron Man and all these different makers. But everyone was just, you know, it was cool because it was small-ish. You know, it's smaller than WonderCon, smaller than a lot of other cons. I think it's still kind of recovering from post-COVID. So I think it has been larger in the past, but it's growing year over year now. So next year I'll probably be even bigger. I think I'm going to put it on my list for attending every year because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And And yeah, just the, I mean, there's a little networking, but more so in the just getting to check out people's cool stuff and tell right. them you like their work. And, you know, if that's all that happens, then that's cool.
So for someone who hasn't been to like Dragon Con or any of those, but has been to Celebration, and by anyone, I mean me, how would you say the scale of it compares?
Dragon like Con and like
the size of a show floor of Celebration?
I'd say it's like a quarter of the size of the show floor. So like imagine the southmost, the whole section that had all of the backdrops and the stage and all that, that whole, imagine that whole section. That's like the entire con. So it's primarily, you know, the show floor, which is like vendor booths and the autograph section and all of that. And then upstairs there are a couple of ballrooms for panels and such. So it's relatively small. If you've ever been out to like the Ontario Convention Center, it's very similar in that size, but nowhere near like Anaheim or, I mean, Dragon Con and San Diego are like on another level. So you're using a different scale at this point, but it didn't feel full or crazy packed. Again, I think it's still rebuilding in the number of people. And I was there on Sunday, which usually, even though it's a 2-day con, Saturdays are usually the busier days. But there was plenty to do, and I had BD. I mean, I took him off for eating, but I pretty much had him on my arm from 9 to 4. And, cosplay is pain. And, but it was great. It was super fun. And I can't wait to do it again, next year. And, I would love to be asked as a guest, you know, maker. Sure. But even if I'm not, I'm still going, because that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think I've been chatting with Brian Thompson a little bit, going to try to get him to come out to it. And because it's, again, I mean, Core Geek's coming down from Seattle, and same as Beverly and Bill Duran and his twin, which I forgot he was a twin. I think when I talked to him the first time, I don't think that was him. I think that was his brother. So I kind of felt bad, because I'm sure he gets it all the time. So he like rolled for with sure. it, I could barely tell them apart, because their facial hair was very similar that day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, one of you needs like a wig or something very distinctive. Right. Or I think one was in a Iron Man suit, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I walk around the corner, and there's his brother in a Ghostbusters, and I'm like, I know you didn't change that fast, so this must be your brother, because I know you didn't get out of the Iron Man in like 30 seconds and become a Ghostbuster. But they had like little build-offs where you had like little teams, and you had a box of stuff to build a costume in an hour, and they had programming things, and it's just very niche. I mean, it's definitely maker focused, but it's kind of like, what do you do at a maker con? Like, is it all making? Is it all networking? Is it all learning? How do you focus that energy so it's not just walking around, you know, for a day, you know, but make it worth their while. So, I did a picture with Adam as well. I'd bought that ahead of time. That was cool. And I told my wife, I'm like, they're going to be fast. And they were, cause it's literally like your assembly line. You go in,
of course,
smile, take the picture.
Yeah.
And go on from there. And then I lined up to do the autograph, cause I'd also bought an autograph, and, And because, you know, in my mind, I'd bought all this before interview was even on the table. So I'm thinking, well, if I want to say hi to Adam, it's I got to get these things. And you see all those videos where people come up and he has a little chat and he's like, oh, this cool thing. And so that's what I thought I was going to do. And I didn't end up having that moment because I'm in line and Adam like calls me over and he's like, Darren, come over here. And I'm like, okay. And I walk over and I, you know, he's like, pick one. Like, you're not going to pay for an autograph. And he's like, I'm going to sign it for you. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking in my head, like, I already bought an autograph, but I am not going to tell you that because that is the gesture that, that matters. But that was very sweet of him. And, it right here, and he wrote, "Amazing work, stay awesome." And I'm like, "Aw, that's so nice."
Nice,
but and then this is my photo op photo with him and BD1, the standard point and shock look that he has for all of those awesome photos. But yeah, I mean, I could gush about it for another hour, but it was super fun. And again, I totally realize it's this alignment of stars and other people and moments that generated this awesome time. But as I've said before, just with celebration, you know, there's a part of the making journey, which is kind of the accolade phase where you've made something cool and you've put your work into it and you're getting to show it off because it's awesome. And people recognize that and compliment you and check it out and you do it in return to their stuff. And that's a totally valid part of the making cycle. It doesn't have to all be crunch time or all be, oh, this broke or this didn't work or I had trouble with this. Like we're allowed to enjoy the praise as long as we don't live there. You know, I think, which I don't think we do, but I'm a believer of that cycle of the maker's method.
Oh boy. I see what you did there.
Ah, you see what I did there? It's almost like we named our show that.
It's like riding a bike, everybody.
But yeah, but that was, that's what I've been doing for the last 3 months. My next con will be, Los Angeles Comic Con in December, which is often fun. And I think I'll probably, MC the droid panel again, which was really fun last year, and bring that energy and excitement, and hopefully we'll get a couple more people in the audience and have a lot of fun. So, but yeah, what have you been up to? I know it's as of this recording, we're kind of mid September, so the spooky month is next month, but I'm sure gears are turning.
Look, I'll tell you what. According to the people at Starbucks, Target,
Hobby Lobby, Home
et cetera,
Depot,
et cetera. Like Halloween started 6 weeks ago.
The jack-o'-lantern came out and saw its shadow and said, Halloween's already starting.
I would say we're solidly 2 weeks into legitimate spooky season.
Okay. Like logistical planning or.
Right. People are starting their builds, or at least taking them more seriously now. And some people are already starting to decorate and all this sort of stuff. But over the last handful of months since we last recorded, I taught all weekend at the Midsummer Scream Halloween horror convention in Long Beach, California, which was my first time back in, I want to say, 3 or 4 years. I'd been teaching workshops since they started the convention way back in the day when they had a different name, and had basically been doing it every year since. And then, oddly enough, before I started doing YouTube, I stopped doing conventions because I felt like I wasn't being able to like connect with people and provide a meaningful education experience.
I mean, granted, it's a convention. Like, it's not a 6-week class. It's not like,
totally.
I don't even know where I would start if I had to teach something like droid building in a 30-minute or hour long. Like, how do you even start?
Well, I mean, it's,
or do you just accept that you can't start?
Like droid yeah. building.
Okay. True. True. And if you, you know. Approach it from, it is only going to be an hour, so I can't right. shoot the moon. I can right. get them started and point them in the right direction.
Well, and you know, historically, we had always tried to make things that you would show up to the class, you'd learn a skill, and you would leave with a finished or at least nearly finished project. Where, like, if it was nearly finished, it was because we didn't have the space for people to paint something.
Right. And then leave, I was gonna say, probably paint
until the end yeah. of the convention to come back and pick up. Which, in some of those early years, we tried to do that and found that at the end of the weekend we had a bunch of stuff that we didn't want.
I was gonna say, people, I'm guessing, forget, you know, people didn't come back.
They did not.
Now if you collect their driver's licenses, then
that would probably cause some problems. So I you know, decided kind of late in the game that I would teach classes all weekend, which was really interesting, challenging, rewarding, mainly because there was a lot of opportunity there for, based on my past experiences, there's a lot of opportunity for people to sit down in your workspace and kind of say, well, I know how to do this. I'm just here because I want to sit down for a while and I figure, you know, I can learn something, but I kind of already know this.
Right.
So whatever.
But it's a place to sit in.
Right. And oddly enough, this year, I think a lot of people sat down with probably more skill than I think we had seen in years past. But we're also very intent on soaking up as much information as they possibly could within that hour block. And
do you think that might be because of the pandemic and people having more time to kind of start that hobby and become a little maybe. More proficient?
You know, like every year that the Halloween becomes more
mainstream. Oh,
yeah, mainstream.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think more people feel like it's okay to celebrate in more ways than just having a costume and going out trick-or-treating or going to a Halloween party. And like we've talked about at length, everyone, like, I think it's in our DNA that we are all makers in one way or another. And there has to be some sort of like circumstance that brings that to the forefront for people to kind of have that moment of realization, like, oh, I actually can do these things. They're not as challenging as I thought, or I am a creative person. And so I think that has really sort of kind of made the experience a little bit different, or at least this year was different in that way, where people were just really open to trying things and weren't just rushing through it. They were really like, cool, tell me what I need to know. And then once I'm good to like get going, then I'm just going to go for it. But also, if I need your help, I will let you know. Whereas, you know, in years past, people just kind of do whatever they want to do. And, you know, so it was really interesting and very rewarding in that way that like when people left those classes, I feel like they all left very satisfied with the things that they had made for themselves, which has always been my biggest concern.
Right. They're happy with their macaroni face and their
exactly.
I wonder if part of it is just a longer season of maker shows and things out there. It makes me think of like could tabletop. Be. Like when the tabletop show came out, it pushed board gaming into kind of that pop culture. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, this is cool. It's not just Monopoly and Clue. And everybody started like, oh, like, you know, looking, I mean, people would know what companies made board games and, oh, this one's made by this company. I played another one of their games like before, like that wouldn't even be, if it's not Parker right. Brothers, like nobody knows. And I'm wondering if the same thing is kind of happening in the maker world where, you know, people are watching enough of the Bob Claggetts and these other makers and Van Oaks props and all these people to be like, oh, I could do that. Like there's enough of these tutorial kind of shows that are sparking that imagination. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, hey, well, here's a chance to try my hand. The materials are cheap. It's not that, hard to give it a start. And yeah, that's great to hear though, that your students were excited. With the weekend, did you have like a 101, 102? Like if someone was there both days, they could progress in like a beginning and advance, or was everything like a fresh course, one-off?
They were all one-offs because we'd found over time that more often than not, the people that were taking the classes were one day attendees.
Mm, okay.
They were either there on Saturday or Sunday because of something that they wanted to see.
That makes sense. And
the convention is big. I mean, it's not like Celebration big, but I think they do like 30, 35,000 people a day over 2 days. So there's plenty of foot traffic, but we wanted it to be so that people could show up, start and finish a project and leave the class with something that they could like take home and put in their yard or put on their mantle or, whatever. So this year they were all single classes, although we basically ran the same track of education both days. So
okay.
The first class was Tombstones. Second class was, a skull and candle thing. Third class was a Nightmare Before Christmas, Halloween Town sign made out of foam. And then, rinse and repeat.
Right. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Because the Sunday classes are better because Saturday classes always have some sort of interesting question or something that you never thought of while you were making the stuff. And so come Sunday, you're like,
you already have the answer.
let me tell you how this is really done. The other thing that was really interesting, was having people come up to me and say, "Hey, are you Van Oaks Props?" Which is a little hilarious because
you got some recognition. Yeah.
I had the shirt on one day and I had the hat on another day. So
no, yeah. I just like his swag.
I'm clearly that guy. Like I'm out trying to get people to watch my videos because the more people that make Halloween means the more Halloween stuff that I get to enjoy seeing. So it was neat to like meet people, particularly people who were like there from out of town too. They were like, there was a really nice couple that I met from Arizona. No, I'm sorry. They were from Utah, near the border of Arizona, who came for the weekend, took a couple of classes, had a nice chance to like chat with them in between classes. Super nice. They showed me all sorts of pictures of stuff that they built using some of the techniques that I've shown in videos. Super flattering to be like, "We wouldn't have been able to do any of this stuff had you not put out videos." So having those interactions was like, it hit me in a way that I did not expect.
Well, and that's cool because, sure sometimes as you're making.
Was great.
Yeah. I mean, as a YouTuber, I'm wondering if sometimes when you're making, it's like, who is my audience? Who am I making this for? And mm-hmm. Now you can picture those people from Utah. Like I'm making it for them because they're, instead of this amorphous cloud of
for sure.
Viewers.
When you're doing stuff for online, it's like you're doing it all in a vacuum. Like this sounds like a good idea to me, or it sounds like a good idea to my wife, but I don't poll the world to find out what people are interested in, because I'd never get a good answer. But, you know, to have people come up to me and be like, oh, here's a picture of the thing that you made like a couple months back. Like, I made one too, and it turned out great. I'm really happy with how it looks. And even if it was like a total disaster, the fact that they were happy with how it looked was like, that was it.
That's so cool, though, being able to teach. I've never done a class at a convention, but I would have to think long and hard about how to do that. So I'm glad that the people who came and participated in that seemed to really get something out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, always nice to see familiar faces. The Los Angeles Halloween scene is pretty deep. And a lot of these people I, you know, only ever really get to see around Halloween or at this convention. So much like I was saying, how Silicon felt like seeing all my friends at summer camp and I wasn't there. This was summer camp for me, but I was there.
Good. Good.
Yeah. So outside of that, I've just been keeping busy cranking out videos.
I know in the past you produced
babies,
those babies, those demon babies. I know in the past you've produced kind of a list of haunts and houses. Is that happening again this year, or?
It is. That actually is a really good point, because so in the past I've done a really simple website and have taken submissions from people. And this year, I'll back up and say, for at least the last couple of years, I've thought I really should spend some time and make the website a bit more robust and a bit more mobile friendly. Mm. And this year I finally did it.
Oh, good.
And so I've spent a bunch of time over the past month or so revamping the entire website and doing all the stuff so that when people decide that they want to go out and see haunted houses and stuff like that, that it's a lot easier for them to do that. And if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, the website is SoCalHauntList.com. And it covers everything from San Diego down south all the way to Ojai up in the northern portion of Southern California, if that makes sense.
Awesome. Now, my one question is, can people who submit their haunts edit them?
Yes.
I was going to say, I think of all the features that you've said would be beneficial, that's the one, because otherwise you get inundated with change requests.
Yeah. So of the things that I really wanted to make sure happened, that was the priority. They needed to be able to submit their own information. It needed to automatically be gathered in a consistent format with the least amount of options, so that people couldn't just start putting in things that they thought fit a
right.
particular category or whatever.
Adjustable fields, not like just yeah. write in what it's about. It's like, no, pick from these five fields that yeah. will actually tell people what it is.
They could add in a description so that people know kind of what it is. They could add in three photos just to keep the loading time faster. And it could link out to, you know, their social platforms. And then the last thing was to add in reviews.
Hmm.
Because oftentimes people will say, oh, you know, I drove all the way and found out that it ended up being something, you know, that I wasn't expecting and whatnot. And so to be able to sort of crowdsource your Halloween experience to a certain degree through a website that like not only tells you where to go based on GPS location, but also shows you photos and lets you look through people's social to see like, is this worth making a drive to? Cause you know, sometimes you might be like, hey, I want to drive 4 hours to go to a thing. Is it going to be worth my time? And, Yeah.
No, so that's really smart.
There's a handful of really major updates that were made to the website. And first year doing something like this is always, it's always going to have its challenges. But I think it'll pay off in dividends over time because the management will be less on me and people will realize that they have a lot more control over the information that they put out there. Plus, you know, Southern California, granted, we have really nice weather most times of the year, but come October, we do get some anomalies because, you know, October, you might have a day that's 100 degrees or you might have hail. Like it's a total wild card. And I know some of the haunts that I've put on the list over the years have had to, you know, take their listings off the website or whatever at the last minute because like high winds kicked up out in the desert and knocked over their entire haunted house or whatever. Like, you know, irreparable damage within the time frame of October. So to be able to say, well, look, you know, if you decide to add an extra day or you decide to only stay open until 9 o'clock instead of 10, now you have access to make all those changes. I don't have to do it. It's a lot less babysitting.
Are you sure? That sounds fun.
Every single thing.
I'm sure they'd much rather you do the updates.
Yeah. I did all the work to put that back into their hands. And yet I still like look at every change. I have to approve every review. So I got rid of some headaches and created new headaches, but they're all good headaches.
No, totally. I knew that was something that you always enjoyed doing, and I was hoping you'd be able to pursue it again this year, and it sounds like make it even better.
Yeah, there's 142 listings as of September 13th. I want to say last year we had 200 and change, and I assume that this year will be probably about the same. So like I said, you know, if you like haunted houses and want to come to the Los Angeles area for Halloween, which I highly recommend because look, there's a lot of people that work in the motion picture industry out here and they like to blow off steam by making haunted houses in their front yards and things. So, you know, come to LA, go to a bunch of homegrown haunted houses and then go check out the theme parks and do all that sort of stuff. It's a great place to come spend Halloween.
Yeah, I think the map is my favorite part because, I mean, a list is great, but most people are traveling by, oh, well, I'm going to be in such and such an area, and being able to see it right on a map really makes it easier.
Yeah, that's a huge game changer for the list this year, for sure, to be able to integrate Google Maps and have all the addresses be clickable now that just like automatically pops it in your favorite mapping app just makes the whole thing so much easier.
Yeah, or if you want to make a night of it, you could say like, oh, well, look, there's these three locations relatively close to each other. Whereas unless you were searching for that specifically, you wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all happening. You know, big Halloween video stuff happening now. And then Halloween.
Well, yeah, like you've said before with a lot of your videos, you know, often when you do Halloween videos, they get a good response because that's kind of what your channel's known for, your kind of core demographic of viewers. So this is Super Bowl time, prime time, sweeps week, absolutely, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah. My wife and I just went on a small vacation and
for 3 months. That's why we haven't been recording, listeners, just so you know. It's all Derek's fault.
I wish. And we got back on a Monday and I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to get out a video this week. I got too much stuff going on. I got to, you know, play catch up. And she looked at me and she goes, what do you mean? It's go time. Like this is
buckle up, buttercup.
This is not the time to call in sick to work. I say, she's right. It is not the time to call in sick to work.
Oh, that's funny. So, well, that's good. Well, I'm glad you have such a supportive spouse in your life who can just say, hey, So we all know we cannot blame Mrs. Van Oaks if a video doesn't come out in a specific week, because she is the driving force.
That is true. That is true. And she made an appearance in a video 2 weeks ago.
Oh, we always love her appearances.
She made her official debut.
Well, awesome. Well, if people want to check that out, I know you gave the website for that, but if people wanted to watch this flurry of Halloween themed videos that are primed to strike in the next few weeks, where would they check those out, Derek?
You can find them on YouTube if you search for Van Oaks Props. And what about you, Darren? Where can people find you online?
Oh, well, if they go to drscifi.com, DRSCIFI, it links to all my podcasts, troop blogs, and bits about the droids. So one of these days, I'll get some more videos put together, really diving into how I designed and built them. I think that would be some nice content. But
I was going to bring it up, but I didn't know if it was a sore subject.
No. Yes. I think I'll start there. And I think doing fun little videos with the droids, like in scenarios, works great for like TikTok and that kind of social. But I think the idea of kind of really, again, I'd rather make a video that's the kind of video I would want to watch. If another droid builder made a video talking about how we built something, that's what interests me. So I'm going to start there and we'll see where it goes.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. And again, you can check this out and many other great podcasts here on the Nerd Party Network. Most of them, you would have a couple more episodes every week than you would have here on Maker's Method, but that's all right. We do have a couple other things lined up we'd love to share with you guys. So stay tuned here or share it with another maker in your life that enjoys listening to people in interviews talking about making. Here we're good listening while you're sanding, apparently. That happens often in the maker's world. But check us out definitely at thenerdparty.com. And as always, keep making.